right now, you're listening to Phil Kennedy.
Yep, Eurovision this weekend. And of course, the ultimate Eurovision act is ABBA. We all love a bit of ABBA, don't we? And this year, actually, 1977, 40 years ago, saw the start of ABBA's big run at number one with Knowing Me, Knowing You off the album Arrival, which brought us quite a few hits. A lot of people dismissed ABBA as nothing more than Eurovision winners, but of course they proved us wrong. One man who's been fascinated by ABBA knows ABBA. His name is Carl Magnus Palm, and through his research and interviews with the band, he's written a book which reveals ABBA's recording secrets, ABBA the Recording Sessions. And the book also tells the story of how Agnetha, Bjorn, Benny and Frieda approached their work and what they feel about the songs they recorded way back when. Not always completely positive. Well, I caught up with Carl and we got talking about ABBA. And yes, I was saying actually to him, you know, that album Arrival, one of my favourite albums, I remember buying it, Knowing Me, Knowing You was on it, and we talked about that. But actually, on that album as well, was one that actually really kicked ABBA off worldwide, and that was Dancing Queen.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I mean, that album was full of classic tracks, wasn't it? It had Money, Money, Money on it as well. An incredible run of hits there.
Obviously, they won Eurovision in 1974. And then, you know, they were having hits in Sweden and had had things like Ring Ring, hadn't they, in Sweden the year before Waterloo became a sort of European and then potentially a worldwide hit. But I suppose when I look back at the sort of history of ABBA, the songs which started, SOS was the one which I thought, ah, now they've really hit it, because that was the one, I think, which sort of caught everybody's imagination. And then along came Mamma Mia, and then the rest almost is history.
Yeah, you're absolutely right there. I think SOS was the watershed, because after Waterloo, and they were sort of regarded as a Eurovision one-hit wonder, more or less. You know, it's like, thank you, we've heard your one song now. You can go back to wherever you came from, and we never want to hear from you again. But then with SOS, I think people sat up and everyone sort of realized, okay, this is a group that takes its music seriously, if you will. They're really into craftsmanship, and you know, you have people like Pete Townshend from The Who. He thinks that's the best pop song ever written, and things like that. So that was really the turning point.
Yes, you know, people realised that ABBA had something to say. And I suppose in some ways, I mean, I know that you've looked at almost the science of ABBA and the way they had those hits and wrote those songs, but looking at some of the songs, obviously initially they started off in Swedish, yet somehow the translation to English became even more powerful in some ways.
Yeah, because in the early days, I think because they didn't have perfect command of English, some of the lyrics became quite simple, like the lyrics for SOS, for instance. They're very on a sort of almost primal level. And then with Agnetha's delivery of the lead vocals, that became, I think that entire package, this very simple message, these very simple words, and her sort of very naked, if you will, vocal performance, that sort of reached into people in a way that if they'd been more clever, you'd sort of felt, oh, you know, I can't relate to this.
I suppose they didn't realise, especially once Arrival arrived and then followed by the album as well, which for me had their best song, which is Name of the Game. But nevertheless, that was the moment ABBA arrived in the world, because they literally took on the world, didn't they? Every single territory, they were at number one. They were gold or they were platinum.
Yeah, it was incredible. You'd think that, okay, now they've conquered the UK, they conquered Germany, they conquered this, they conquered that. They can't possibly get any bigger. Well, of course they could, you know. Okay, so the Japanese record company said, oh, it's great, all this success you have in all these countries. But, you know, you could never be as big here as you are in Australia. And their manager, Stig Anderson, he was like, you know, that was like waving a red flag to him. Said, I'll show you. And then they went there for 2 weeks. Did TV, did radio, and, you know, they did everything they could. And then they were huge in Japan. Same thing happened in South America a year later, you know. No one's interested in European bands in South America. And then they released Chiquitita in Spanish, and that became the biggest hit in that territory for 25 years. So they were just unstoppable.
Yeah, they really were. You've looked at the dynamics. I mean, how did ABBA actually work? Because obviously ABBA is the four of them. Yeah, I suppose at the core of it is Benny and Bjorn because they wrote the songs. But you couldn't have done it without Agnetha and Frida, could you?
No, that's absolutely right. I think they recognize that. Okay, what we can do, the guys, the Bjorn and Benny, we can create great songs and we can create great arrangements and production values and all that. They could put that into the entire thing. But it's when Agnetha and Frida come in with their magnificent vocals, whether you're talking about lead vocals or, you know, these stacks of harmonies that they put on there, that's when the magic happens. That's when it turns into an ABBA track. And that's when it sort of breaks through all the barriers and reaches into the heart of people.
Mind you, that being said, only was it the other day I played, I think, one of the few ABBA successes with Bjorn singing on it, which was Does Your Mother Know?
Yeah. They always wanted a bit of variation on the albums. He said retrospectively, he told me that I wish one of the girls had sung that instead, because I think we had an even bigger hit, you know. They were better singers. And indeed, in the Mamma Mia musical, it is sung by a woman. So the gender reversal would have worked.
Yes. Almost anything would have worked. When, given your fascination in the years you've been around ABBA, what do they make of it? Because they must still be amazed by the enormity of their success. And it is enormous, isn't it?
They are, it is enormous. And they are indeed just as surprised as anyone. They're just thinking, why has our music survived this way? And why, it never goes away, it just grows bigger and bigger. And they're just stumped, really.
Yes, because it's all ages now. Even, youngsters now, six-year-olds, will sing along to an ABBA song. They'll want to go and see Mamma Mia.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I get, over the decades that I've been working on this, I get, they're like 10-year-olds, 15-year-olds contacting me, becoming huge ABBA fans, and then never leaving it. So it's just new generations coming along all the time.
Just finally, a quick but probably tricky question. Your favourite ABBA song, if there was that sort of definitive ABBA song for you?
If I have to choose one, it's usually The Winner Takes It All, but I could make a very strong case for your favourite song as well, The Name of the Game, which is always up there in my top three. I absolutely love that.
Yeah. It's a cracker, isn't it?
It is.
It's been fascinating speaking to you. Always great to speak about ABBA. Carl, thank you.
Thank you.
BBC Radio Berkshire. Travel you trust as it happens.
You love ABBA, of course, the ultimate Eurovision act. That book out by Carl Magnus Palmer, who is friend of ABBA. Must be great to be friends with ABBA.
Yeah, really cool. My first karaoke song I learnt was SOS.
Ah, well, there you are, you see.
Yeah.
It's a good song as well.
It was a good song.
Can you do the piano? It's the easiest piano to do, I imagine.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, if you can play the piano. I can't play it.
No, can I?
Well, far away.
I can talk about the roads, though. M25 clockwise.